WBZ H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Three people have been charged in an alleged Iran-linked plot to assassinate President-elect Trump. That from law enforcement sources and a court document. Sources confirm that Elon Musk, the head of SpaceX and Tesla, was on the line when the president-elect was on the phone this week with Ukrainian President Zelensky. A stabbing spree in Seattle's Chinatown. Deputy Police Chief Eric Barton.
We had an individual who committed five different stabbings in at least four different locations with four different victims.
Seattle police say 10 people were stabbed in a four-block area within 36 hours. No deaths. A person is in custody. In Amsterdam, Israeli soccer fans attacked and beaten by violent mobs after a match against the Dutch. The mob angry about the wars in Gaza and Lebanon. Federal judge today overturned the Illinois ban on semi-automatic weapons. This is ABC News. At least 220 buildings have been damaged or destroyed by Southern California's mountain fire. ABC's Jacqueline Lee in Camarillo.
What they're focused on now is preventing these spot fires and putting those out immediately. So what we saw in the last few hours is there was actually a significant amount of smoke that popped up right here, and then we saw some flames poking through. What officials told us is that means that underground, it is burning the root system of the plants and the trees. And so when it gets hot enough, the flames will then come up, and then that can result in a fire re-sparking, reigniting, and then spreading.
Teachers in Gloucester and Beverly, Massachusetts have gone out on strike in violation of state law. The two unions have similar demands: smaller class sizes, higher wages, paid parental leave. Gloucester School Committee says it has bargained in good faith. Mayor Greg Verga says money is tight.
Budget projections indicate a deficit of between $4 and $7 million
in the coming cycle. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Here's a community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North. The Hayward Community Food Shelf is available for you each first Saturday of the month. Located at the Hayward Community Food Shelf at 16216 U.S. Highway 63 in Hayward. Again, the food shelf is available the first Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. Another community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show. Right now, at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
UW Women's Volleyball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The UW Women's Volleyball team in Madison at the Fieldhouse against the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Badgers in third place in the Big Ten. College basketball, the Badgers men's team with a 79-67 win over Montana State. Head coach Greg Gard says the Badgers' next game is against the Appalachian State Mountaineers Sunday morning at 11.
Quick turnaround here for App State coming in on Sunday. Another good team. Different than what we've seen maybe for the last couple games, but a little bigger.
NBA, the Bucks with a 123-100 win over the Utah Jazz. Andre Jackson Jr. getting his first start, helping out on defense. Damian Lillard.
I thought he had a great game. Disruptor, energy, that's just the kind of player he is, and I think, you know, they felt his presence out there tonight.
The Bucks' Gary Trent Jr. only playing 8 minutes before dropping out in the first half.
Back spasms, yeah. I saw him running down the floor in the second quarter, and I turned and said, he's not running normal. I saw that.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Thinking about heading to the theater this weekend? Here are some films that might be up your alley. Hugh Grant stars in Heretic, a film about two young missionaries who knock on the wrong door and end up fighting for their lives in a house owned by the nefarious Mr. Reed, played by Grant. The film is getting mad reviews at 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Check out another film in wide release this week called Weekend in Taipei. It has kind of a Mr. and Mrs. Smith feel to it, but reviews are very mediocre so far. If you want to get a jump start on your holiday movie watching, you have two choices. Best Christmas Christmas pageant ever is being released wide and pulling in 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, but has a 100% favorable audience score. Another Christmas film in limited release this weekend is Christmas Eve in Miller's Point, a comedy drama starring Michael Cera and Elsie Fisher, where a family descends on their home for the final time. The film is currently getting an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're scoring at home, that sounds like four winners to me, so let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 20s. Then clouds return to the area tomorrow, a chance of rain in the evening, a high in the upper 40s. Rain chances continue through Sunday morning, clouds continue, and highs stay in the upper 40s. It's 32 degrees.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, it's not all doom and gloom. Jody Habish Sinekin, Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. She won. Plus, Harvey K. will talk about what happened and what comes next. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton cuff, hippie cut, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Aho, hey, Kargi. Welcome all of our friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio, where we discuss local and national Native news stories and events. I'm producer Haley Cherry, getting things started here, hopping on for host Robert Pilot while he just finishes up some really cool stuff that he's working on. Shortly today, you know, it's Tuesday, so if you're a normal listener to the show, we're going to be having Ruth Buffalo on, who is the president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis. That's MIWRC. And for some of you listening who may not know who Ruth Buffalo is, before Ruth was in this position at MIWRC, she was living in North Dakota, and she made that journey here back to the Twin Cities. But she was a former North Dakota state representative. And when I came on the show almost 2 years ago now, Ruth was one of the first guests that I got to know really well, I would say, on the show. And just such a joy and such an inspiration to get to know her and get to know her story, her personal story, and also her political story. She worked really hard to get elected out there in North Dakota, and really proud of her for that. There was a really, really interesting article written about Ruth Anna Buffalo in Vogue magazine. I would encourage everyone to check that out. There's a really historic picture of Ruth, actually. When she was getting sworn into office, she wore traditional regalia. And that picture is pretty famous around Indian country. So I encourage you guys to check that out and get to know a little bit of Ruth's story prior to being at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And we're also going to be having a couple rock star guests on with us again, two people that are great guests on Native Roots Radio. We got Britannians Band, so Christine Bartzell and Thomas Draskvik will be joining us again. One sec. Thank you. they're going to be talking about, they've got two songs off their new album. What is Stories Around the Fire, I believe, is that album title. They've got two songs called The 38 and War Cry. You could look up their stuff on Apple Music or iTunes, really wherever you get your music from. Their music really is kind of like more heavy metal, pop rock type of genre. It really gets you up and on your feet. I know every time I listen to Britannians Band, it's like I just kind of wants to like lead me into a protest or something. But like the first 38 is a song about the Dakota men that were hung here in Mankato, Minnesota. And it really talks about their story and just honoring the fact that we're still here. So that's really amazing. And Thomas Draskovic is a well-known educator here in our Indian communities in the Twin Cities. And Christine is very well known too around the music scene here, especially in Minneapolis. Hopefully Ruth can come on and join me shortly. I want to mention something for NAC, which is Native American Community Clinic. That is Dr. Stately, who is the president and executive officer at Native American Community Clinic. They will be starting Saturday medical walk-ins in August of 2024. These walk-ins are available from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And they do say that the doors will be locked at 1, so please arrive prior to that 1 o'clock closing time. Saturday walk-ins are for medical clinic only. And I do want to mention that they do have a dental clinic, but these walk-ins will just include that medical part. I'm not sure if Robert is available yet. I know he's in a very secretive meeting. And hopefully Ruth can jump on with me, get a little extra time on the air here, which I'm a little excited about. Yesterday evening, if you were listening to the rest of the show, we got some unexpected thunderstorms kind of rolling on through the area, and I lost power, so wasn't really able to stick around on that last segment, but here we are. We got the power back, and we're rocking and we're rolling, and we're really going to be rocking later once we get the Pretendians band members on with us. But yeah, I hope everyone out there is just having a good start to their week, and it's Tuesday tomorrow. I know that we usually have guest Arvina Martin from Emerge Wisconsin, our Ho-Chunk sister, on with us. I was really looking forward to talking with her just political-wise about kind of all the craziness that's happened this past week, but she will be on an important flight, so we will miss her this week, but we will be excited for her return the following week. And I know Bob Blake from Red Lake also wishes he could join us tomorrow. However, he will be accepting a very prestigious award. I think that was out in Colorado. I'm not too sure. But that's very exciting, and it's cool to see a lot of like our guests kind of be recognized for the great work that they've been doing around the state and around Indian country. I know Bob has been working with the Ho-Chunk tribe, actually, on getting electric vehicles and charging stations around the Ho-Chunk territory out there in Wisconsin. So I think that's really cool, and it's a great resource to kind of, you know, make that push to going green a little bit easier. I was curious. Oh, here's Ruth Buffalo joining me quickly here. I was curious to see. I know Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center was holding a good intentions gathering last evening, and that was included with a meal and a full moon ceremony. I was hoping to make it over there, but with that unexpected storm and the power outage, my car got locked in the garage, so I was not able to leave. But, you know, that full moon comes around every month, so hopefully next month. I wanted to see, Ruth, are you there?
I am, yes. Dosha, hello, and Madzagadads, thank you.
How's it going? How's your Tuesday today?
Oh, it's going really good. It's been busy. It's our twins' 10th birthday today, and then we have the our monthly...
Oh, no, I think I lost your audio. You still there, Ruth?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hello? I want to say, yeah, big happy birthday to your twins.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Yep. So they're double digits now. It's pretty exciting. And yeah, my mom's in town. And but yeah, we're getting ready for our monthly MIWRC community meeting that starts at 5:30 at 2300 15th Avenue South, MIWRC, monthly community meeting tonight.
Okay, awesome. Did you, were you guys able to continue with that event you had last evening?
Yes, yep, we did. It turned out very beautifully. And yeah, the rain subsided to where we were able to be outside. And yeah, it was very beautiful. And I believe the moon ceremonies at MIWRC will be held every month. So it was a great turnout and good to be in community amongst some beautiful individuals.
That sounds so nice. I'm very thankful that MIWRC holds events like this for our community members. So that community meeting tonight is once a month, and can you do a shout out for the time again?
Sure. 30 p.m. Every month. And we had the first one last month in June, exactly a month ago to this day. And so we're just sticking with the monthly community meetings, 5:30 at MIWRC, and it's a time for us to come together, share updates, and then also to welcome community feedback and input. So yeah, we just want to make sure that we are doing all we can to let the community know our doors are open and giving updates on what programs and events we have going. And then also just really want to hear from the community too. So we want to provide this monthly space for community, I guess you could say, fellowship, you know, just coming together and sharing a meal and providing updates and then welcoming feedback as well.
That's amazing. We got to take a quick break here. I would love to talk more about the programs that you guys offer. You are listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back after this quick break.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence. And shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. Again, that's at metrotransit.org. The Powderhorn Art Fair is celebrating 33 years of community and local art on the weekend of August 3rd and 4th. This year's event will be the biggest yet, with a record number of artists and vendors. Over 190 local and regional artists will exhibit their work, offering diverse art from clay and digital art to jewelry and woodwork. Floral and garden vendors will bring extravagant bouquets and blooming artistry to the park. And the Powderhorn Art Fair will highlight local businesses, arts nonprofits, and eco-conscious upcycle artists. Whether you're an art enthusiast or a casual buyer, there's something for everyone. Plus, enjoy sweet and savory treats from more than 20 food trucks. There's the kid-friendly family zone, packed with creative activities. And don't miss the on-site DJ providing vibrant sounds throughout the weekend. The Powderhorn Art Fair is free to the public, with proceeds supporting PPNA community initiatives. Make plans to head to the Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 3rd and 4th from 10 to 5 at Powderhorn Park in Minneapolis. More at PowderhornArtFair.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Hey, it's producer Haley Cherry filling in for host Robert Pilot quickly. And joining me is Ruth Buffalo, who is the president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis. Ruth, thank you so much for hopping on this week, as every week, with your really great updates.
Yes, Mazagidads. Thank you so much for having us.
So, talking about the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, I know you've been in this position for under a year. Can you talk a little bit about just the programs and all of the resources that you guys offer to our community.
Yes, I've been in this leadership role at MIWRC since March 4th, so kind of barely maybe one quarter there, and we've done a lot of great things together, a lot of team building and getting familiar with what programs we have, and we're working to really stabilize what existing programs we have. And so some of those programs include a housing manager who helps individuals prevent from being evicted. So our housing manager, Corey Basler, works tirelessly to help individuals and families stay in their rental units. We are working to fit some unmet needs and gaps that we have in terms of reaching our community to the fullest. Our drop-in center is another point of entry within MIWRC where we help unhoused women, children, trans relatives on a daily basis by offering, you know, a safe and brave space to sleep during the day. Many of our women, unfortunately, sometimes stay up all night if they're unhoused, and they stay up all night for their own safety. And they come to the drop-in center to get a warm shower, warm meal, and connected to resources, but also get some time to sleep. And then we have the Nujimo, which is called Heels, that serves individuals impacted by gender violence, whether it's sexual assault, domestic violence, or human trafficking. So we do a lot of anti-human trafficking. We have family services that works tirelessly as well to keep families together through ICWA kinship care workers, ICWA liaison that helps provide advocacy in the courts. We are still hiring for a foster care licensure specialist. And then we have a traditional birthing and a traditional healing program with traditional birth workers and doulas, and also a traditional practitioner. And so those are some of the key programming that we have, or key program departments, and all that are very much interconnected. And so we are working tirelessly to continue to stabilize our existing programs and, you know, go after grant funding and all of the above to make sure that we keep our doors open and serve the community to the best of our ability.
Thank you so much for all of the work that you've been doing. I want to go back and talk about the drop-in center. What are the hours for that?
We have 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. and then 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Okay.
So,
Sorry. No, I'm just saying what a great resource that is, and for especially for our unsheltered relatives in this heat, and like even coming to get a cold shower or like you say, just a safe place to rest their head for a couple hours, and that's huge. And I think that's a great resource. Going back to the housing, your housing manager, I have a question. So this is a concern that I've been hearing a lot just from our elders living at certain places, I guess I can say. But I have had issues with elders wishing or saying that their needs are not being met at a certain housing complex or apartment complex or however you might want to term it. And they think it's really because of the management not being ran by Native people. So I feel they feel very misunderstood and like their needs aren't being met. And I was told that some of these elders and residents would, you know, ask for certain things or ask for something to be fixed or something among those needs. And being met with eviction papers. Is this something that your housing manager program or what kind of stuff do they assist with? Would it be something like this?
Well, that's definitely an area that we are of interest for sure. It's unfortunate that tenants have to face issues like these because it not only impacts, you know, your daily life, your quality of life, but also, you know, in turn, it chronic stress leads to chronic illness and chronic disease. So how can we mitigate or prevent, you know, for future tragedies from happening? So it's all of the above and all encompassing, but we are looking at building partnerships within the community with existing community partners and people who are already doing the work. You know, it's important for tenants to know their rights. And so we definitely welcome any and all collaborations and future partnerships. I know in North Dakota, they have the High Plains Fair Housing organization that helps people who have been discriminated against or facing evictions and things. So it's definitely on our radar to figure out how we can bridge the gap and keep tenants protected and, you know, through education and awareness of their basic tenant rights is really important.
That's really, really great to hear. Thank you for that. I will point these elders in your direction. Thank you for that resource. We had you on last week, and I know that things have changed a bit politically here. I was talking before you hopped on, just giving our listeners a reminder of what you were doing prior to being at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And you were a representative for the state of North Dakota. So I trust you with your political experience and your knowledge in that. What has changed for you this past week and just hearing the news of Biden stepping down and his pick in endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris?
Yes, I mean, it's interesting news, been an interesting week. And yes, you know, I was in the state house for 4 years in North Dakota. We serve 4 year terms. And, you know, a lot of the laws that I was able to pass or be the prime sponsor on, it all took bipartisan support. So definitely was a good experience, but testament to working together across the aisle, because a lot of the issues we face today really shouldn't be any division. There really shouldn't be any all of everything, you know, a good, safe, healthy community. Everybody should be able to have equal access or access to a good, healthy, long life, you know. And so it's always, yeah, how do we improve the quality of life for every single person? And so a lot of these issues should not have, you know, they shouldn't be, they should all be nonpartisan, really. And so how we were able to get a lot of things done was bipartisanship, you know, working with people who maybe we didn't necessarily agree on the same things, but we came together in recognizing the task at hand and how this particular issue or a bill would impact our future generations. And so just really want to stress the importance of coming together and really finding, you know, those finding unity, even though that's kind of a fluffy word, but it's so important when we think of a future generations and the unborn children that are yet to come. And how do we work together, put those differences aside to where things are not so polarized and where things can good direction for future generations is really critically important.
Exactly. I've heard just a little bit of talk around, you know, who Kamala would pick to be her vice president. And I heard Governor Tim Walz might be on that list. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I heard that as well. And yeah, I think he would be amazing to provide that balance that our country needs. But yeah, it's we'll see how things play out. And I just hope that things have peaked and things will sort of mellow out. You know, I just think of the importance of coming together and finding solutions is so critically important now more than ever.
Exactly. Well, we got about 30 seconds here left. Ruth, do you want to give a shout out to how people can donate to MIWRC?
Yes, please. Thank you. MIWRC.org.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Three people
have been charged in an alleged Iran-linked plot to assassinate President-elect Trump. That from law enforcement sources and a court document. Sources confirm that Elon Musk, the head of SpaceX and Tesla, was on the line when the president-elect was on the phone this week with Ukrainian President Zelensky. A stabbing spree in Seattle's Chinatown. Deputy Police Chief Eric Barton.
We had an individual who committed five different stabbings in at least four different locations with four different victims.
Seattle police say 10 people were stabbed in a four-block area within 36 hours. No deaths. A person is in custody. In Amsterdam, Israeli soccer fans attacked and beaten by violent mobs after a match against the Dutch. The mob angry about the wars in Gaza and Lebanon. Federal judge today overturned the Illinois ban on semi-automatic weapons. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
UW Women's Volleyball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The UW Women's Volleyball team in Madison at the Fieldhouse against the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Badgers in third place in the Big Ten. College basketball, the Badgers men's team with a 79-67 win over Montana State. Head coach Greg Gard says the Badgers' next game is against the Appalachian State Mountaineers Sunday morning at 11.
Quick turnaround here for App State coming in on Sunday. Another good team. Different than what we've seen maybe for the last couple games, but a little bigger.
NBA, the Bucks with a 123-100 win over the Utah Jazz. Andre Jackson Jr. getting his first start, helping out on defense. Damian Lillard.
I thought he had a great game. Disruptor, energy. That's just the kind of player he is, and I think, you know, they felt his presence out there tonight.
The Bucks' Gary Trent Jr. only playing 8 minutes before dropping out in the first half.
Back spasms, yeah. I saw him running down the floor in the second quarter, and I turned and said, he's not running normal. I saw that.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Gladiator 2 is just a couple weeks away from hitting theaters. According to director Ridley Scott, Joaquin Phoenix almost quit the first Gladiator. The 86-year-old director says Phoenix got cold feet and told Scott he had to leave the project. It took a Gladiator-type effort from fellow castmate Russell Crowe, who told Phoenix he was being terribly unprofessional. At the end of the day, it was Scott who talked the actor into staying on the film. Gladiator 2 does not have Joaquin Phoenix or Russell Crowe, but is directed by Scott and opens November 22nd. The sixth Pirates of the Caribbean film is in development. Good Lord. Producer Jerry Bruckheimer says production on the film will start in late 2025, but the cast has not yet been assembled. Johnny Depp is a maybe, but Keira Knightley says that she will not take part unless it's the final film of the franchise. Fingers crossed. The film does not have a title yet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 20s. Then clouds return to the area tomorrow, a chance of rain in the evening, a high in the upper 40s. Rain chances continue through Sunday morning. Clouds continue and highs stay in the upper 40s.
Right now it's 31.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, yeah. But I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, bye. Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, is in the host chair for the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, you know, this radio thing's kind of easy, isn't it, Haley?
It's not too bad, I have to say.
Great job. I was still in a meeting. I really appreciate you doing the first half of the show, but oh my goodness, we have the stars of the show now. Haley, do you want to introduce these guys?
Whoa. I would love to. We've got two members of Pretendians Band here with us. We have Christine Bartisol and Thomas Draskovic. You guys, welcome back.
Hello. Hey, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hey, Haley, a lot of great information, a lot of the great things happening with the Pretendians. Let's get started on this.
Okay, do I got this interview too? I'm excited.
I'm here as your producer now.
Thank you, Pina Gigi. Well, thank you guys for coming on. I know probably the last time we had you on, we were looking for a new band member, but I hear, you know, things have kind of settled down and you guys are rocking and rolling and you got it figured out. Is that right?
It's true. Very true. So I know we were here, I think last time was in April, and we had put out the bat signal looking for a lead guitar player. And we actually found one and kind of rearranged things a little bit. And so I've gone from being the drummer to being the lead guitar player now. So
wow, multi-talented. I love that.
It's been
Have you
fun.
Always
it's
played both?
Challenging. Pardon me?
Have you always played both?
I have. Drums and guitar. In fact, I'm a guitar player before a drummer. And so it's been great. It's been fun. I love it. I feel like, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be.
You're like that cat that was in Nirvana that was the drummer, and now he's got his own band for the last 20 years.
Who's coming to town this Sunday, by the way? The Foo Fighters.
Oh, that's right.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, they are.
Carter Field.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's exciting. Are you guys going to that?
We are. Jill and I are. From Pretendians Band, the bass player. So, yeah.
Lucky. Well, what shows have you guys been playing this summer? You know, where have you been? I've seen you've been traveling all over the place.
Yeah, we've been out of town quite a bit. We were up in Duluth for the KBFT show with Corey Medina and Brothers up in in Duluth. And from that, we got an invitation to play at Tower, Minnesota, for their 13th anniversary show with Sihasin, who we've been following for quite a bit, and which is really, really cool. And then we also got a chance to go back to Standing Rock, where I'm from, and play the Arbol Fest. And we got to play in the powwow grounds there in Fort Yates, you know, North Dakota, which was great. And the sound and everything was put on by Gray Willow Studios, who we got a chance to work with the Avengers Lakota Dub. And then we just came back from Nevis, Minnesota on Sunday, playing Musky Days with 89.9 radio station up there. Up on Leech Lake. Yeah.
Niji Radio.
White Earth. Yeah, White Earth.
Hey, we're on there.
Yeah.
Our best.
All right.
Yeah. Well, you
well,
guys.
Well, that's exciting.
Haley, these Pretendians band, they're on a way to winning some awards possibly here. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Hey.
Yeah, for sure.
We've got two songs that have been nominated to the Native American Music Awards, known familiarly as the NAMIs, and those songs are The 38 and War Cry. And so as of right now, it's still early in the process. The NAMIs basically have our music on a giant playlist with all the other nominees. They have yet to be sorted, and voting will start sometime late August, probably early fall, maybe September-ish.
Yeah, and I think their format's really interesting because I think you get to have your music out to people that maybe don't really get to hear you. Or a different market, and then they put everybody out there, and they put everybody, available to be heard, and then it's up to the people to decide, like, oh, wow, yeah, maybe this is actually worthy of, you know, an award or not. So it's kind of really up to the people to decide who's really moving forward and not. And that it's not really about like if you have a large following or if you have sponsorships or anything. It's more of a format for the people to hear other musicians that maybe they, you know, haven't been exposed to.
That's amazing. And I remember probably one of the first times that you guys came on the show while I was here, your album was just coming out and we were promoting the whole album. So it's cool to see kind of the progress that it's made and the recognition that it's getting. And I just want to say big congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. We're really proud of it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Our lyricist here really drives it home and drives home a strong message. You know, and I just want to say on the show that we did for KBFT and KBFT's 13th anniversary show in Tower, we played with the band Seahawson. You guys have to be familiar with them. They're out of Arizona. They're a brother-sister duo. And she thought that, I know one of the things with our name Pretendians Band can be kind of triggering for some people, understandably so. And she, Janita, the singer, who's amazing, they're both amazing, thought that her name was amazing. She thought it was great.
And yeah,
I just want to give a shout out to Seahawson. They're really supporting us. And
yeah,
they were great. Sure. They sound familiar to me. I'll have to double check on that. But yeah, I mean, that's so exciting. And I think the first time I saw you guys perform was probably at the Powwow Grounds parking lot at Four Sisters Farmers Market. And
I had the same question.
I had the same question. I was like, are they really Pretendians? Do you want to kind of like educate some people on what that term means?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, one of the things we try to say is like, if you ever look at our website, anything that we do or say, we never place the in front of our name. You know, that's always putting other people do it. They're like, oh, these are the Pretendians. We're never put ourselves out there as the Pretendians. We're not declaring ourselves as Pretend Indians. That's not our intention. We call ourselves Pretendians Band, because we're a band who's trying to bring up a conversation that will include people to understand, like, okay, there is an epidemic right now of a lot of Pretendians out there that are trying to, you know, take our images, take our likeness, you know, take our art, our music, our culture, and take it as their own and say that, oh, because I grew up a certain way, so, you know, I'm a native too. I'm Indian, you know. I grew up in this community, and so for us, it's not like we never declared ourselves as being Pretend Indians. What we're doing is bringing a conversation to the table of the fact that there's so many people out there that are pretending to be us, that are stealing things from us and are benefiting from that. And we want to bring that to the table and say, like, if you actually go and listen to what we're saying, if you go onto our website and listen to our music, you'll understand there is nothing pretending about what we're doing. And what we're doing is trying to bring that to the forefront. Is like, there's so many people out there that are trying to do that and are benefiting from it. And there's a lot of people like us who are just trying to bring that to light.
Yeah, I think that's a really good conversation to have and an important one. And it's unfortunate that this has to happen, honestly, a little bit too much in our communities. And it can be shocking and it can be surprising sometimes. So thank you for just kind of advocating for that situation in our communities. I want to talk about your songs that are nominated here from the album Stories from the Fire. This is War Cry and The 38. If our listeners out there can look those songs up on Apple Music or iTunes or your Spotify streaming platforms. We listened to the songs and there's a bit of a contrast to it. I would say War Cry is a little bit more calm, and we have The 38, which is a lot more rowdy and kind of gets you up and ready to go.
bring back our missing sisters and watch them stand up. Let them teach us about how this world should be. If we hear the words about hypocrisy of institutions, we'll give them wings to fly up until the clouds again. Let them hear your war cry. Let them know you're still alive. Let them hear your war cry. It's not our day,
so that's war cry.
Yes.
What would be your favorite line out of that one? Who helped write that, and what's your favorite part?
Well, I wrote all of the lyrics to it, but I didn't write the music to it. And so what that process was, is they were saying, like, what do you want to say with this song? What's your intention with saying, you know, what are you trying to say with the song? And I said, well, I think it's about, like, talking about hypocrisy, about generational genocide, missing and murdered Indigenous women. It was kind of all over the place with it, but they're like, well, how can we, like, focus it in? And so I just started singing it to them a cappella, and then they just started picking it up musically and finding, like, a space for it to exist. And finding a tenor that really made sense to what we're trying to say, that could get across like the meaning of it, and the fact that you chose that section, that actually to me was the most meaningful section of the song, is to talk about how again missing and murdered Indigenous women, and the fact that we are not talked about enough or seen enough as far as these things that are happening with our people, and and we need more attention, and we need more people to see eyes on us and what's actually happening, and then also giving a voice to activism around that to step up against that.
Thank you. We're going to talk a little bit more about that after this break. Let's listen to a little bit more of this music as we head in. You're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awakened. This is Robert Pilot.
Hey, that's the 38 by the Pretendians, and we're Native Roots Radio, Haley. Ho-wa.
Hey, we're here with Pretendians band Thomas and Christine, and we're just chatting about their two songs that they have nominated for the Native American Music Awards this year. Voting for that will be this fall, right, guys?
Yep. Yeah. Should be end of August, early September-ish.
All right. Well, we'll have the troops ready, and we've got the smoke signal, and we're going to vote up a storm for you guys. I want to make sure that we talk about this, because this is something really huge here, Thomas. You were just a part of the Lakota language overdub for Marvel's The Avengers movie. I mean, that is so awesome. I'd love to hear more about your experience with that.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. It's really cool. My mom and her best friend were asked to, do a Lakota language dub of the first Avengers movie. So it took like 15 months and a lot of actors and a lot of different tryouts, but they got it done. It's on Disney Plus. It just came out last month on June 14th. And it was kind of funny. I tell people this kind of, my mom is really, when they ask her to translate things in Lakota, she's like, yeah, sure. Because she wants the language to kind of keep going. And so she's trying to explain to me what this thing that she was doing, but she didn't understand Marvel. She didn't, really get that it was like this big thing. And, she's like, send this guy something Buffalo, And I'm like, you mean Mark Ruffalo, the guy that plays the Hulk? And she's like, oh, yeah, that guy, And so eventually I sussed it out that she was translating this movie into Lakota with her best friend Ruby. And she was like, we're doing all these auditions and we're having a hard time finding people. And I was like, well, Mom, did you tell them that you have a son who's an actor and actually teaches the language at school and stuff, that works with the language? She's like, oh, yeah, huh, yeah, huh. And so they sent me a one-page dialogue between Loki and Nick Fury. And so I just recorded it on my phone, sent it back, and they said, yeah, you should be Nick Fury. Why don't you come in and record this? And it was really neat because it is a really state-of-the-art recording studio in the middle of Standing Rock. It's like in Fort Yates in this old government building that used to be a school and stuff that they revamped in a wing of it to make this really cool studio. And they brought people from Standing Rock out to Hollywood and taught them how to use all this equipment and how to like really set things up. And so we recorded all the dubs in Standing Rock with, native actors. And so it wasn't done in Hollywood at all, as far as like the main, native actors, but also everybody, every main Avenger actually did some line work. So Chris Evans and all those guys actually did some lines, like Robert Downey Jr. did some lines, but the guy, the Hulk, Mark Ruffalo, who got the whole project going, insisted on doing his whole character's lines. And wow. It was a really neat process. And with my mom there, she's like, we're translating this the way that we speak from our community. So when you look at, the Avengers in there, you're going to see that this is how we speak in Standing Rock from Rock Creek District. And it was an extremely fun experience. It was just amazing.
Wow.
Hey, we're here with the Pretendians band and part of them. And one of the things I just wanted to jump in, Haley, sorry, I know you're running the whole show and you're doing great, is that, Mark was huge with the Dakota Access Pipeline. He put his money where his mouth is, and he didn't just leave and do nothing other than protest and do some selfies. He was there, and it sounds like he put together a studio for the nation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things that they said at one of the premieres, we did three different premieres on Standing Rock and in Bismarck. And they said that everything got, funded through an anonymous $250,000, somebody gave. And I'm pretty sure that was him. But like I said, he made sure that it happened. And we're grateful for it because they want to do the whole series. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
Great news.
And then will you be in the union now? You're a union actor?
Or how? I don't know. We'll have to look into that. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. But they asked me, like, are you ready for four more? And I'm like, yeah.
Absolutely.
If you keep paying me, then I'll be back. Yeah.
Yes, that's great.
That's huge. So people can go watch that on Disney Plus right now, right? That's out currently.
Yes. Yeah, so awesome. If you look up the Avengers movie, the original from 2012, and you just click on settings, and the languages come down, you scroll down to Lakota, and then you go to the captions, and you click on English, so it's all there for you. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's amazing. I just have to jump in again. Sorry, Haley. And by doing that, I know a lot of people I've heard years ago that became actors in the United States that were foreign, and they learned the language by watching movies and TV shows. And you can teach the language to people that want to learn that language through this movie.
Yes. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because again, if you watch it enough times and you hear it, but you see also what it means at the same time with captions, and it just kind of just, and it's, and it means something. And that's part of what we liked about doing this movie. It's not about doing something that's set in like the 1800s and, you know, Old West kind of a thing.
Right.
It's something that the kids can really actually, you know, get onto, like, you know, in their own life, like right now. And not have to be a historic thing, but this is something that's happening now. And the fact that we're change makers currently, but also for the future as well.
That's so awesome. Hey, I want to just jump back to what you said earlier when Haley was interviewing you, is that you guys played with Corey Medina. How fun was that?
That was a blast. That was so much fun. He's legendary. He's so good.
Yep.
That was great. That was a great show.
You guys should go on tour together. I know he's doing the State Fair again, and he was behind our booth, our Native Roots Arts booth in the State Fair, and he rocked for two nights. And I guess they don't have you come back every year, but he's back this year, he told me.
Love it. Good.
Yeah, I ran into somebody who actually booked him for this year. And he noticed the Pretendians band sticker, and he asked if we knew Corey Medina, and we talked about how we played together. And he's like, well, let's get you guys out there next year then, you know, because he was like, we just booked Corey Medina for this year, and we love you guys, so let's get you out here next year. So
that would be so great. That would be so great. Hey, great job today, Haley. I really appreciate it. I had a couple things I was finishing up here, some meetings, and Haley did the show, and I remember you guys will like this. Haley, when she first started working for me, said, I do not want to be on the radio. Don't ask me on the radio or I'll quit. And she just did a whole show.
Awesome.
It's been great. I've got a great mentor.
Yes, you do.
Yes. Kills those who make it. Let them eat grass and they are part of nature. Now twisted, I'm a slow creature. You trick with the games that you make doing snares. But the lessons of a 38, I'm prepared to take back what's ours.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we continue looking for California guy Eric Hovde, and we'll hear from Mr. Global Matt Randolph, oil and gas expert. He's fantastic. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay
me. Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Alleged Iranian plot to kill the U.S. president-elect. The FBI says Iran's elite Revolutionary Guard Corps instructed an Afghan operative with a criminal background to spy on and then assassinate Donald Trump. Court records say that on October 7th, Fareed Shakiri was ordered to get it done. ABC's Aaron Kutursky.
The complaint says Iran also told Shakiri to kill two people described as Jewish business people residing in New York City because of their support for Israel. Then he was told to put aside his other efforts and focus on Trump.
A stabbing spree in Seattle's Chinatown leaves 10 victims in less than 2 days. Police say they have somebody in custody. Bigger than first reported, a Chinese cyber espionage campaign that attempted to hack phones used by both major presidential campaigns, trying to get U.S. secrets. Thousands of firefighters are battling the mountain fire in Ventura County outside Los Angeles. Thousands evacuated. This is ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till